You're now listening to a Hip Hop Digest special interview with King Killer, Kuchi, and E Green.
Welcome to the Hip Hop Digest interview series. It's your man, DJ King Killer.
Don't forget about your boy, Kurt G.
And of course, it's E Green. And as he said, it's the interview series. So you know we got something popping. Right here with us, we got a legend that you're going to learn about today. Billy Bill, William Waring, what's up, brother?
How y'all doing, man?
Hey, we doing
good to be on with you. It's good to be on with you.
No doubt. Welcome to the Hip Hop Digest. So, even though he's a legend, do we start him in our customary fashion?
Oh, absolutely.
We got to start him the way we start everybody.
Hey, no doubt. Legendary, Mr. Waring, but they'll find out why you're legendary in a minute. But before we get started, the customary questions are, who is your personal top three MCs, and what is the first rap record or any record that you bought with your own money?
Oh, man. So, you know, I am strictly old school because I helped put the bricks in the building that is now called hip hop. I did have a contributing hand. So, I'm going to keep it old school. And it has to be Curtis Blow, Melly Mel, and third one might be Kumo D.
Oh, okay.
Kumo D.
Okay, that's official, no doubt. And what about the first? Go ahead.
No, go ahead. It's unofficial. Curtis won because that's who I started with.
Indeed, no doubt.
But I do have to add DJ Hollywood in there too.
Oh, okay. No doubt.
How many of y'all know about DJ Hollywood?
No official.
Doubt. Okay.
That's real.
Okay.
Yes.
Indeed.
So that's the man before the Wax came out.
Yes.
So one way or the other, he doesn't get the credit he deserves. All right. And I definitely have to throw him in there.
Okay. So what's the first record you bought with your own money?
The first hip hop record I bought with my own money?
It can be any.
I ain't gonna say it was my own, but I really didn't buy any. I bought maybe the Mexican.
Oh,
Shaft in Africa. What's the name? James Brown's, the JB's, Blow Your Head.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Joe Quarterman, Trouble in the Mind, Apache, Jimmy Cast a Bunch.
Okay.
And these is before they turned them into hip hop records.
No doubt.
The originals, of course.
So I'm gonna tell you this, that my hip hop game goes back to before it had a name.
All right.
Well, we're about to get all that.
We're about to get into that. I'm a senior citizen.
All right.
So, a little bit of background, real quick, is in the recent past, I became kind of friends with Curtis Blow, and respected him and hope his wife, everything's good over there. And that's how I came across you.
Okay.
And the first thing that hit me was like, yo, basketball, because I saw you on socials talking about basketball.
Uh-huh.
And so later on, I'm going to bring up a real big question, but that was the first where I first started seeing about you. Like, I should have known already, right?
Yeah.
But now I really know, and now that I did my research and we've done our research, we are, there's a lot of work here, brother.
There's some hip-hop classics.
All those are my questions.
Oh, no. This is your discog.
The list of joints that you was on.
Oh, yeah. It's about 20 records.
No doubt. All right, Kill, I'm sorry.
Most of them were singles. I think almost everything I ever wrote was a single one way or the other.
No doubt.
Indeed. So I don't own all 20, but I own about 9 of them. So I only took out the records that I particularly own. One thing I wanted to talk about, I guess, is your contribution on some of these. I think, first of all, it's the Starsky Love Bug.
You gotta believe.
Now that record got heavy spin. We used to play that record all the
time. Right. I just had to show. I got a couple of them.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay.
So your
okay. So
yes,
you gotta believe.
Yes,
1983. That was the second record right behind Games People Play.
Oh, right.
Sweet Jesus was okay. You Got to Believe was very special to me because I had lost my brother the year before. And I had wrote those lyrics, but I kind of like modified them. And the next year, and so Games People Play became a big, big hit in New York, like number one for about 3 months almost. And that's the first record on Fever labels. And so You Got to Believe, the inspiration came up for me and I presented it to Love Bug Starsky, rest in peace.
Indeed.
And after reading those lyrics, he's like, yo, Bill, man, I got to have it, man. Bill, let me have it. So I knew that with his talent, he could articulate and put the performance on it that I anticipated being done. And he did.
Indeed.
He did it from his heart, just like I wrote it.
Indeed. Again, a great record. Again, I'm only picking from the recordings that I own. Next one I want to ask you about was, I was surprised, not really surprised, but I was just like, wow. One of my favorite records, Fast Life, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
Fast Life, 1984.
Yes.
I had some friends that lived that life. I kind of lived it too. But I mean, they was unfortunate. Some of them met with their demise. And, you know, I dedicated that song to them. But the stories was about many people that grew up that way, you know, started much too fast, you know, and your future could be your past.
Right.
No,
yeah.
That's true today.
At the end of a shotgun blast.
Yes.
Yeah, so, you know.
No doubt.
A lot of things I wrote was from the heart and experiences from, you know, from seeing it, hearing it, or just knowing.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. My next recording that I'd like to inquire about was the Fat Boys Disco 3. It's the first record from the Fat Boys I ever bought, you know.
1984.
Yes, sir.
Number one in New York City, request, and a couple other things, sales at one time. That's one of the gold records on the wall back there.
Oh,
yes, sir.
Truth be told, I didn't write the lyrics for that, but I wrote the track and I presented to Curtis and he did the rest. The Fat Boys got on it, did their thing. And I did that in one night. Like the late great Larry Smith said, I got this guy I want you to meet. Y'all maybe could go get together and hook up something. He's good. So we met at the Fever one night, the famous Disco Fever, and I went with him out to his house after the Fever. And we went and worked on the track, and it was kind of crazy. I just went out there, messed around with it. I hummed the tune, and he started playing it. Then I said, well, put this behind it. And it's boom, 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 boom. Boo, 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 boo. Didn't know it was going to be Fat Boys. Didn't know that.
Wow.
I gave it to Kurt, and Kurt knew what to do with it. When I heard it, I knew it was a hit because we had a little magic going on then.
Okay.
1984 definitely was very special. 83 was special. 85 was special.
Indeed.
And then then I got a little disenchanted with the business. So then I kind of like, I had my own trials and tribulations there.
No doubt.
That like stuff.
So I gotta ask you, you mentioned Larry Smith, which is kind of a segue. So I'm looking at some of the recordings. I mean, were you you know, a player in any way with Orange Crush? I mean, you know, that's your era, your peers.
Those are all my guys.
Yeah, you know.
A couple of those guys grew up with me on the block.
You know, yeah. Davey DMX and the like.
I met Davey DMX 1980. He was Kurt's DJ. And Davey D is on the second record I ever wrote, Hard Times by Curtis Blow.
Yes.
He's on the intro. Yeah.
Well, Killer, before we get, you know, because we, like I said, we limited. So I want to make sure I get these questions in that they've been bubbling for a while, right?
Okay. So
for the last 10, 15 years, I've had a wild hair up my ass about ghostwriting. And for a long time, I mean, I was really on it. Like, how can you say this, that, and the other, that you were this, that, and the other, when somebody else wrote that shit for you? Mostly speaking to the young boys, right? But along the way, I noticed that not many of the old heads were saying much or nothing.
Oh, I'm going to tell you about it.
Oh, well then let's go, because that's what I want to know. Why do we not hear about you and all the work you've done with some of the greats?
Okay. So let me get to the point about ghostwriting. Cause Jalil from Houdini once wrote, we was corresponding and he shout out to the ghostwriter. Billy Bill, and I had to correct that. So a ghostwriter is someone who is uncredited. You feel me? Okay. A ghostwriter is uncredited. He's done work, right? He may be even unpaid. Mm. And his name is not on the materials that he wrote. My name is on everything. I am the writer. So that's the differentiation I'm trying to make. A ghostwriter is incognito, you know.
Okay. I mean,
I've never done that. If I did something for you, my name is on it. I'm credited, fully credited. Ghostwriter might never be credited or use another name or pseudonym or something, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt. Okay. So how do you, are you okay with that? Is ghostwriting okay?
Not to me. I believe if you wrote it, like if you had some kind of situation with law or something like that, that, you know, or somebody's going to take your money or something like that. I see you don't want to give them your name or whatever. But no, you wrote it. You deserve your credit. You deserve your pay.
No doubt. It's just that in hip hop, we see it so differently than we see R&B or pop music, where, you know, you have your writers, your team of writers, and then they give the song to whoever and they perform it and sing it. So the whole world thinks that person wrote this and everything.
There's nothing wrong. Nope. There's nothing wrong with it, because all you got to do is read the label. There's all kind of collaborations. And if I came to you with the song Basketball, you trying to tell me, I'm not going to put it out because I didn't write it, or you going to put it out and get your money?
Well, we see what the answer to that is, right?
Okay, exactly. Exactly. You present your product, you know, if you got something and that's what you did best, you give it to somebody who's going to do their best on it, and all is well, you know? My contemporaries didn't have no problem with that. And I've been asked by Hip Hop Hall of Famers, I'm not going to mention them, no names, among the first ones to go and say, oh man, you got any more left for me, man? We got to get together. I'm like, it just never happened, but
okay.
Yeah, they asked me. So we don't hold that. It's a different creed, you know what I'm saying, between the generations.
No doubt. No doubt. And then I guess the other business question I want to ask is like, how and what attracted you to hip hop, and what like made you just like, I got to do this?
I started out as a breakdancer.
Okay.
I started out as a breakdancer. So you know all the elements on. I wrote on walls and all that graffiti. I did all that. But I was an excellent breakdancer. I would dance with an excellent breakdancing crew. We wasn't from the Bronx. We was from Manhattan, Harlem. And then the new thing came along. You know, we start going to these parties, and then every, you know, had people used to get on the mic, you know. But we used to be fascinated with the radio disc jockeys. Like I said, I was doing this before it was called hip hop. You know, in New York, they had a guy called Hank Spann, who used to come on the radio. But his thing was like, WWRL Super 16, you can say it and win. You know, everybody used to try to talk like that and whatnot. You know, and then along, then we heard DJ Hollywood, who could do it with rhymes, right? Nobody wanted to give him the credit for it, but everybody, he's like, he's there. He planted those seeds, but he didn't want to get onto the wax. Mm-hmm. You know? And that's what this record throughout your years, the first record I ever wrote, mm-hmm. that kind of describes what was going down around the time, like before records, and then soon as records came out, you know. So my thing was to write a song that was inspirational, you know, because most records was just about braggadocio, and I was a little different than that, you know. I could do this, I could do that, I could have all these girls in one night. How much money I got? What kind of car I drive? I'm like, man, look, yo, hip hop could do something different, you know. It could inspire somebody, you know. So that was the first record I wrote throughout your years, your ups and downs, the highs and your lows. I'm the man on the mic that rocks the house, man. They call Curtis Blow.
Well, you could have gave that speech today.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why. When that was presented, the producer said, we want to meet this guy. We want to meet this guy ASAP. So, yeah.
Indeed. Speaking of Curtis Blow, I want to get to, which I don't know. I mean, you would have to say maybe the biggest things between 8 Million Stories and basketball. I mean,
I told you 84 was unbelievable as far as the creativity, man. It was just, and it was easy. It just came out. It's natural. You know what I'm saying? It just came and flowed. I wrote basketball in maybe an hour.
Wow.
Maybe an hour. It just came because I knew the game. You know, that's how I made all those names go in, and I crafted it, and I can't believe how easy it was. Wow. 8 Million Stories. Now, the inspiration behind that, because I wanted, when I wrote Hard Times and all that, right, when the late Sylvia Robinson heard that at Disco Fever, she knew the game was going to be changed forever, right? But my people didn't want to take a chance on doing the gritty stuff, and she did. So she put the message out, but I planted those seeds, bro. I planted. Yeah. She heard it. She offered me $50,000. Wow. On the spot to be the exclusive writer for Sugar Hill Records, which I respectfully declined. Yeah, I ain't going to get into the rest of that because I might have never got my money.
I was going to say that might have been the smartest thing
besides I was with the king of rap, so yeah. I seen money.
No doubt. No doubt.
All right. But she took that opportunity there, and she put that record out. And I had to give her props for that. So it took me a couple more years for them to, now it's all right to make a record like this. So I said, all right, we gonna do, I used to watch a show called Naked City. It's an old TV program, come out, and it was in black and white. And it started out there, 8 Million Stories in the Naked City. This has been one of them. So I said, let me talk about 8 million stories, because that's New York, 8 million people. And I got it going. I had Kurt call me up, and we did like a teleconference thing, you know. So I might write a couple lines and got not stuck, but like, oh, what could go right here? And Kurt would add his input, boom. You know, like that was some great work, man, to me. Okay. I enjoyed doing that. Especially the last verse.
No doubt.
Indeed. So let's if you would want to touch on, as you were getting in had difficulty with the industry, I'm assuming it's just like most people, you know, it's hard to track down the money, it's hard to get paid, etc.
Yeah, exactly. I became disenchanted with putting my stuff out there and having a hard time getting my money, or not knowing, oh, they using your record. Somebody had to tell me, using your record is on TV or whatever. And I'm like, did you know? No, I know it now. You know, no, I did a lot of homework. So, I mean, there's a lot of money I did get that I might have not gotten, you know. But I did some reading, you know. And I learned about the first couple records I did. I didn't have publishing. Hard Times and Throughout Your Years, Star Life. And then I started doing my homework. And then by 83... I had, you know, established publishing company and all that.
Oh, okay. So, the business.
Yeah, the business. Because I'm saying if I had publishing from the beginning, my income would have like doubled. You know, man. That's what that's about. You get your publishing going, and that's what keeps, that's what, that stays forever.
Right.
Okay.
Yep.
So I tend to have a geek. I'm geeking out from someone who was actually there. And I have like more of a technical question. I don't know if you can answer this or not, but it's obviously you were obviously at the Disco Fever. You were at other clubs. What was the best sound system you think you ever heard, with something like a Paradise Garage or a club we may not be familiar with?
You may not be familiar with it. I mean, Kool Herc is known for having the great sound, and you heard about the Infinity Machine from Queens. But as a dancer before it became hip hop as a name, there was a place down in New York, down in the Village. It was called the Dukes. The Dukes.
All right.
And so I think I might have went there like 2 or 3 times. But the first time I went in there and I stood near the speaker, you could feel it like pulsating in your chest. So I had to get away from the speaker, man. That was the best. I mean, they was playing, what they played. When they played Give It Up or Turn It Loose by James Brown, that bass was... Oh, man. Wow. So that was the best sound I ever heard, because it was like the first time I heard it.
Okay.
Wow. All
right.
All right.
So let me ask you another question. Like, what if you could give a message to like today's group of artists, what would you say to somebody like about this industry, what hip hop means and all that kind of stuff?
I remember the guys who paved the way and put the bricks down so you could get to where you are or where you are now. You know, somebody had to do it, and, you know, just respect them.
No doubt.
What I'm talking about.
No doubt.
Go ahead, Killer.
I say another thing? I'm not so enamored with today's stuff, but, you know, that's me.
Well, we're some dinosaurs ourselves. I'm not saying you're a dinosaur. You said it.
I'm happy being that dinosaur. Some of that stuff I listen to, I just like.
Yeah.
I'm just like, what? What?
but you do keep abreast of the music that's not like that, because you know, as Kurt G here, he puts out 104 albums of the week every year. You know what I'm saying? Of different artists that you don't hear on the so much on the streams and the commercials and all that stuff. But so it's, okay. Do you still keep attached to that?
Not as much as I used to, but I have an ear for the sound. I knew a hit as soon as I hear it.
I believe you.
If it fastened, even if it's today, I know a hit as soon as I hear it.
No doubt.
I know a hit if I wrote it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I knew they was going to be kind of special. I'm not bragging or anything like that. I was the anti-bragging guy. You know what I'm saying? But I just knew as soon as I passed it off to some,
Well, you don't have to brag, sir, because your record speaks for itself. And once people really dig into this, they'll understand what you're talking about and why you're saying it that way. But that's beautiful. And thank you, by the way, for all of your input to this thing that we love. You're part of the reason why we do this show.
I'm so happy, man. You know,
back in 84, 85, we were youngins listening to that stuff, feeling all of it. We got we got 10 minutes here, folks. I just wanted to pass that in just so we can make sure we don't get cut off.
All right.
No doubt. And so I think the last recording, since we got 10 minutes, I want to ask you about, not so much on obviously the writing aspect of it, but was this Games Females play? Was that just a label, you know, just a quick thing from the label? You know, versus Games People Play.
It was just the kind of the answer to it. The girl came up with some lyrics. It was the same track. She was fine, so she could put on a good stage show with it. It was a hot record, made it a little hotter, you know, made some extended it a little bit. And so hey, I was on it. I didn't do all of it. I wrote like a verse in it. That was mostly her, you know, Gigolette.
Yeah, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Indeed. So
Kurt, you got anything?
No, sir. I'm sitting back just listening. To I'm loving it right now.
You know what record nobody really talks about?
And what would that be?
Only the strong survive.
Survival?
Are you hip with survive? Only the strong survive off Curtis Blow, backed by popular demand.
Oh, okay.
That was come on now. Y'all ain't heard it. Tune it in. Y'all, you listen to that. That was some great work that we did as a collaboration with Curtis Van Silk and myself. And I like came along and did the last verse.
Okay.
So yeah. I had to condense it, but it's about it's only the strong survive in any way that you have to, you know, to live and or die. You know, it was about AIDS, it was about drugs and what have you. And it holds true, and it somehow they didn't really push it out. But yo, gotta check it out then.
Then homework will be done.
Only the strong survive. Curtis Blow, backed by popular demand album.
No doubt.
1988.
Before we run out of time, do you want to talk about which I guess is your only record that you put out? The Join Us on Profile Records?
Yeah, Trouble in the Old School.
Yeah, which actually, I'm trying to remember, the track reminds me of another track similar, but right now it escapes me.
Which one, the long one or the one that was just a breakbeat? And
the one that was a breakbeat.
That's the Old School.
Okay. Yes.
And I say, right about now, get ready to get down to the funky sounds of the man they call Cool Kyle.
Yeah.
Is that an amazing Billy Bill as we proceed to do it to you and yours? Something like
this.
Yes. Yeah.
Get funky, get loose, get down. That's my boy, Cool Kyle. Shout out to Cool Kyle. His birthday is tomorrow.
Oh, shout out.
There it is.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
No doubt.
So, little quick one on that. That's 1985 in January. So, I wrote, we was formatting in the end of, like, the holidays of 84. But Cool Kyle and myself, we wrote those lyrics in and we rehearsed it once and then went right into the studio. Wow. We was in the studio, but we wrote it there. But we rehearsed it and crafted it right there and just went in and did it.
Ah, mm. Wow. Indeed.
No more than two takes. Curtis Blow Beat and my friend, the late great Danny Harris. He's the other writer on it.
All right. No doubt.
But where can people find you? Like to do more research on you? Like you got your socials. Where can people find you?
Mm.
if you want to be found. Well then there that is then.
That is that.
Guys, it's all good. I'm here for interviews, you know what? You know.
We appreciate that. No
we
doubt.
Definitely appreciate it.
No doubt. We appreciate
you,
that.
You found me, so they can find
I
me the
did,
same way.
I did, yes. It's not really hard, but
if you put it in the work.
Right.
Yeah, I'm on Facebook, William Billy Bill Waring.
There you go. There you go. Well, we
if I choose to answer and do it, then it's all good.
There, look, brothers.
We're happy that you chose us.
He didn't answer on my first request. It took me a minute. Like, who is this guy? Why? What?
Yeah, you know.
That's well, so Billy
I'm
Bill.
Glad you got it.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you being on the Hip Hop Digest so much, yo. It's an honor and a privilege.
Yes.
It's my honor to be here too, man.
Thank you so much
for your time.
Salute.
All right. Good night.
Peace.
Yo, Kurt, man, you got some bank?
Yo, my brother, I ain't really got it like that. What we got here is hard times.
I hear you, brother, but what's up with that?
Hard times spreading just like the flu. You know I caught it just like you. Prices going up, the dollar's down. You got me falling to the ground. Turn around, get ready, check out the clock. Get ready, all people, for the future shock. Hard time.
Hard time.
Hard time.
Hard time.
To the bridge. Ho! I get funky. Yep. Hard times, people of the planet. Times are tough, tough as granite. Hard times coming to your town. Get ready, cause you know we're gonna throw down. I'm gonna go out there and get a skill. My life's been dull and I need a thrill. Hard times.
Hard times.
Hard times.
Hard times.
To the bridge. Ho! Ho, sucker. Better watch that. Hard times got my pockets all in chains. I tell you what, it don't have my brains. Will I ever, ever, ever reach my peak? Cause I need that dollar every day of the week. Hard times, you know, it's a natural trip. I'm gonna keep my balance, I will not slip. Hard times.
Hard times.
Hard times.
Hard times.
To the bridge. Yeah. Hold down. Hard times is nothing new on me. I'm gonna use my strong mentality. Like the cream of the crop and the cup of the cream. Hard times, that is my dream. Hard times in life, hard times in death. I'm gonna keep on fighting until my very last breath. Hard times.
Hard times.
Hard times.
Hard times.
To the bridge. Get down. Ha, ha. Ha, ho. Digga, digga, digga. gonna use my strong mentality. Like the cream of the crop and the crop of the cream. Beat hard times, that is my dream. Hard times in life, hard times in death. I'm gonna keep on fighting till my very last breath. Hard times,
hard times,
a hard time,
hard time,
to the bridge. So fuck it. Yeah, baby. Living for the next day seems like an illusion. But to the point, people don't even share. A man dying on the streets, they walk by like they don't care. Who's to blame? So don't think it's fair. And at the rate things are going, there's gonna be a nightmare. A man killed his wife and newborn baby because he smoked that crack and it drove him crazy. They say that crack is the drug of the 80s, but I think you're better off just a pushing up daisies. Right or wrong or right, if you smoke that pipe, you're playing with your life and death for somebody who just wanted to party, so you're gonna smoke crack. Hey, be my mom, Scotty. From a man to a woman, from a woman to a man. Times are rough, but you know they ain't strange. So watch, I have to get a sex change. 2 million people walking around with AIDS. And even world figures are to their grave. And it's taking no prisoners town to town. And no one is fed, so you better slow down. Cause there is no cure to put a stop to the thing that took the life of Liberace and Rock. I've seen 80,000 just like them. So keep your hands in your pants. If you wanna stay alive, just tell a little girlie, hey baby doll, only the strong survive. Now sing!
Strong. Bobby worked hard all his life to become somebody. To be a ball player was a childhood dream, and then he followed it through like he reigned supreme. People loved to watch him cause his game was so pretty, and he learned to play it on the streets of old New York City. And didn't do well in math, and if you ask him, he laughed and tell you to step off, I'm the first pick in the draft. And Bobby just signed a really big contract, and then the duckets started coming in and bundles of stacks. And with new ends came a whole new circle of friends, and then he started lending, was when he started to spend his money on drugs and the alcohol, and that started messing with the way he played ball. And took it down very young until he got sick, and he was hanging in the spots with the big leg chicks. The bodyguards and Uzis, and you know that we use these, skeezing all the boozies in the bubble jacuzzi. Bobby had problems and the fans could tell, because he used to play the game so very well. He started missing shots that he always would take, and then he run on the brink and started going for the head fake. He had it all, but he let it slip when he died on the court at the championship. Word, 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 word.
Run about now, get ready to get down to the fucking sounds of the man they call Cool Kyle, and present to you the amazing Billy Bill. As we proceed to do it to you and yours, something like this. Get fucking get loose, get down. Come on now, let's rock the sound. And for the next 2 minutes, your body is mine. I will control your soul, dominate your mind. The power of my voice eliminates all choice. So relax, baby doll, get fresh and stay moist. Now, who do I think I am? The star child, Cool Kyle. I'm taking command of stimulation. It's what I'm all about. I like to cause a scene. I watch them screaming shout. I rock them to a frenzy. I bring them to their knees. Make them close their eyes and say, Cool Kyle, please. Not a fantasy, pure reality. I'm the real star child, not a photocopy. I put the cat in cool. Rock the old school. Broke all the rules as I proceeded to groove. Learned how to rap. And ever since that day, all other MCs I began to slay. Show no mercy wherever I went. Other MCs, egos I began to bend. Had to stake my claim in the Hall of Fame. Put a spark to the fire, reignite the flame. Vindicate my name and let everybody know Cool Kyle is back and I'm still in the show. It's like that, y'all, I don't stop, y'all. Cool Kyle is back and it's a fact, y'all. Now Billy Bill, come on now, I know you're dead, so get on the mic, you rock what's left.
It's Cool Kyle and Billy Bill. I'm the man with the cool, the man with the chill. I like making love, I don't like fighting. I'm the man with the words, I do the song. Like rocking the house and moving along. I want the box in your hands and playing my song. See, we are the guys of a thousand thrills. They call him Cool Kyle and I'm Billy Bill. I like the fish like must swim, the birds must fly. We're breaking MCs down, let me tell you why. We're from the old school and we go way back. We're giving all the MCs a party pack. We take a funky rap and then we say it. We put it on the watch and let the DJs play. I got to step on back, I got to take a pause. Cool Kyle, take the mic because it's all yours.
Well, I took a little trip, cold chilling for a while. Everybody wanna know what happened to Kyle, but Cool Kyle is back. Yes, that's a fact. Ain't nothing you can do, so get used to that. Yes, I'm a big beat buster with the nitro sound. Now let me give you a taste, that might knock you down. I give you fair warning before I start. On my bedroom wall, hang a thousand hearts, cause I'm the K-double-O. Raise a lot of hell, enchanted rhymes to put you in a spell. And I'm the K to the Y, the L and the E, from the boogie down Bronx, baby, yeah, that's me. And now I like the wild thing, every once in a while, a little body rock, girl, yeah, that's my style. Great, versatile, unique profile. Cool Kyle stands alone on top of the pile. We'll never bite a rhyme to save my life, cause I'm always fresh and every day, every night. So all you newcomers, you better beware. Polish up your rhymes and try to prepare, because Cool Kyle's coming. I'm here to stay to back off perpetrators. Get out of my way. Yes, yes, y'all, I don't stop, y'all. It's like this, y'all, you can't resist, y'all. I've been a bill, come on, it's up to you. Now get on the mic and do the do.
Let's take a trip and let's go way back to the old school where we learned to rap. Didn't need no boots when I left home. Just two turntables and my microphone. With a DJ behind us to stay on time. While me and Cool Kyle bust the funky around. So keep on, I keep on. Tell all the other rappers going mow the lawn. Got a funky rap just for you. It's Cool Kyle. It's the fresh red beat. Got people dancing on all ends of the street. So when you're from the old school, stop messing around or just get on up and don't let me down. I'm from the old school, my name is Billy Bill, and I'm a rockin' from the valley to the top of the hill. I'm really bad, like a hook in a jab. I knock you out and probably kick your ass. So come on down to the place to be and rock rock to the rhythms of little old me.
Now bust it.
Move your body to the funkin' sound.
And now bust it.
Come on, girl, let's get on down.
Now bust it.
Come on, do it, do it, do it like this.
And bust it.
Do it, do it, come on, can't resist.
Now bust it.
It's good, you know it's on.
And now bust it.
Let's rock to the break of dawn.
Now bust it.
Cool Cow and Billy Bill.
I'm rocking now from the top of the hill.